Well, good morning. So great to see everyone. If you are a guest with us today, I'm really glad that you are here. Great to have you worshiping with us today. Before I get to our sermon, I wanted to give just some Orangewood Church home folks just an update on kind of where we are in our financial year. As I said at the beginning of the year, we wanted to give quarterly updates of how we're doing year to date with our budget. And we come out of the summer, wanted to give another update. Just in case you don't know, our financial year as a church runs in line with the calendar year, so we're just a little bit over halfway through the year. Right now we find ourselves a little over halfway through the year, and going through the end of the month of July, we're about $160,000 behind our budget for the year. So we have plenty of time to catch up before we get to the fall. We sent out giving statements to those of you who call Orangewood home. So those went out last Wednesday. Just want to make sure you're aware that is through the end of June. Those statements are through the end of June. But as we seek to invite every person into the life-changing story of Jesus, this is part of our mission to make an impact here in Orlando and around the world. My encouragement to you this morning is to give generously, knowing that we get to be a part of something infinitely better together as His church in making a difference. I'm very excited as we turn into the new ministry year. We began a new sermon series last week that I am so excited about, called The Way, the Truth, and the Life. Over the month of August, most of the month of August, these 3 weeks as we begin the new ministry year, we're looking at what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus in our day? What's it mean to be His disciple? Which is a word you may be hearing you've never heard before, and that word disciple just means learner or student. I actually prefer the word apprentice. We are learning from Jesus how to bring our normal, ordinary days into life with the Trinity through following Him into the kingdom. And so this morning, if you're willing, able, would you stand for the reading of Scripture? If you have a Bible, you can turn to Matthew 11. If you have a Bible app, you can turn to Matthew 11. We will read that in just a moment while you turn there. We'll have it on the screen behind me. I'll read it in just a little bit. But I'd love to take a moment as we just pause in silence and allow the parts in us this morning that may feel chaotic, feel overwhelmed, feel distracted, like my body is here, but my mind is somewhere else. If that's you this morning, we will just take a moment of silence to be reminded again that God is here. So let's do that now. Jesus said to His disciples, "Come to me, all who are wearied and burdened, and you will find rest for your souls." So this morning, Jesus, we most likely come wearied and burdened. And so, Holy Spirit, meet us in this room with the profound reminder and invitation that you are with us, and that through following Jesus, there is rest for our souls. We pray this in His name. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. You can follow along as I read. Jesus speaking, "Come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Take a seat. Well, through this three-week series, we're going to look at the way, the truth, and the life. Last week, we looked at the way, living with Jesus. This week, looking at the truth, learning from Jesus. On April 6, 2007, Arianna Huffington, the co-founder of the Huffington Post news outlet, you may have heard of it. She was at the height of her career. She's just expanded her business and brand globally. She's now a sought-after speaker at various speaking opportunities. And at this point in her career, she's working 18-hour days fueled by espresso and adrenaline. And on that morning, April 6, 2007, she woke up from falling asleep at her home office desk once again. She stood up. She was dizzy. And she collapsed. When she came to, she had broken her cheekbone and there was a very large gash over her eye. She went to see the doctors and they gave her the diagnosis. Extreme exhaustion and sleep deprivation. She recounted this event, and later she looked back on it and admitted, she said this, "I thought I was thriving, but I was actually on the brink of collapse." When you hear those words, it's not only the reminder of her story, but really it's the reminder of our story. Now, most of us won't pass out in the home office, but our souls are doing something similar. We are running on empty, and in the moment, we just simply call it normal. Have you ever had one of those weeks when you looked at your schedule, or your calendar, your task list, and it just feels like everything on your task or to-do list is urgent? Ever been in a place in life where it felt like your mind was a cluttered attic? A place where your heart felt like an old frayed out rope? Those times in life where so much is going on, where you stop, you literally stop your body, but you can feel inside of you something is still running. Friends, that is the weariness that comes from carrying life. Carrying expectations, carrying disappointments, carrying this invisible scoreboard that we all have wondering, how am I doing? Carrying the weight of holding everything up, feeling like if I just let go for a second, everything will collapse. Maybe that's how you feel this morning. You just feel the weight of the world on your shoulders. And here's the thing. We didn't wake up and just somehow get here. It was a slow process of learning. We learned to live this way. Life has taught us that if I want to matter, then I must keep producing. Life has taught us if I want to be liked, I must keep on pleasing. Life has taught us that if I want to feel secure, then I must keep control of everything. This is the life that we have learned. And Dallas Willard, the author, says this: we, all of us, are being spiritually formed. We're learning a certain way to live. Every moment of every day, we are being spiritually formed. The only question is into what? What are we learning? What are we being formed into? Every day, something is shaping us, forming our habits, our fears, our ambitions. And for many of us, if we're honest this morning, we know that we have learned a way, we've been formed into a way that we come in maybe this morning feeling wearied and burdened. But into this world, and into this way that we have learned of how to carry life in our own strength, there comes an invitation from this man, Jesus, that is as astonishing as it is simple. He says, come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus' invitation today to you is, walk with me, listen to me, learn from me, work with me. So the real question this morning we have to ask ourselves, the big question is, what does it mean to really learn from Jesus? What does it mean to really learn from Jesus? First, come to Jesus for the rest you were made for. When Jesus said in the first century, take my yoke upon me, or you, take my yoke upon you, learn from me. When he talked about the yoke, his first century followers, this audience, this crowd listening in, would have known exactly what he was talking about. The yoke was this well-fitted wooden beam that went across two oxen in the first century to help them plow or to carry a cart. It was meant to distribute the weight, this well-fitted yoke. But during this time in the first century too, the yoke had taken on an understanding of Jewish teaching in the day. So in the first century, to speak of a yoke, it was to speak of a rabbi who had a yoke, which meant it was his teaching. It was his interpretation of the Jewish and oral law and how to interpret, how to live that out in your ordinary, normal life. So when Jesus mentions the yoke, he's talking about his teaching. He's talking about his life. And it wasn't that you just listened to a rabbi and said, I like his teaching, I like his yoke. It meant that you said, I want to follow this man and his way of life. I want to pattern my whole life after yours as you lead. And for those in the first century who had been beat down by oppression from the Romans, had been beat down by all of these Pharisees teaching all of these rules and all of these laws, into that wearied and burdened soul, Jesus' words were cool water in the desert. Come to me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Greek word for easy is actually the word Christos, which we could begin to maybe misinterpret it. The idea is that it is meant to sound out like the idea of something being well-fitting. As that wood beam goes on top of the oxen, that it would fit perfectly. This was the way life was meant to be. This was the yoke that you were intended to carry. It's Jesus saying, walk with me and I will give you a work that fits you, a work that won't crush you. But for many of us, our perspective, the ways we've been formed, we miss this invitation every day. That each moment, every day, Jesus is inviting us to see that he is with us, that he walks with us, that we do not have to carry all the weight, that we do not have to depend on ourselves anymore. So many times, Jesus wants to teach us how to live with him, learn his ways, walk with him, but our default setting is we believe we know the way, and that everything is all up to me. I remember when Rachel and I had been in Michigan only about a year at this point. I'm around 30 years old, and we had just moved into our small rental home. First home we've ever had. We were renting, but it was a home. So we felt, hey, we need to get the furniture and get all the stuff that we need for our new home, and I am 30 years old at this point, which means Tyler only knows one way to operate in this world, and it's called Tyler's way. Rachel at this point has gone on Craigslist. Anyone remember Craigslist? Okay, she went on Craigslist. She found this sofa, and she told me, hey, you need to go this afternoon. I've already set it up. We're ready. You just have to go pick up the sofa. And so I, as a good husband, left that afternoon, went out. I'm driving 30 minutes away to pick up the sofa from a college student. I get there. The college student begins explaining to me, oh, did your wife not tell you this is not just a sofa, it's a sofa bed. I want to stop the sermon for just a second. We, at least here in America, we've got to figure out our language. And we need to work a lot harder to separate a sofa from a sofa bed. Anyone who's moved knows this. A sofa can sometimes be very easy and light to move. A sofa bed is like moving a small Honda. So there I am, and somehow by divine intervention, me and this poor college student somehow get the sofa bed in the truck. I'm now driving home knowing what's before me, and I'm supposed to move this into our basement. I'm calling everyone I know. Are you able to help? Are you still there? They've already hung up on me. But finally, my friend James Gray answers the phone. And we should call him St. James. James, at one point in his life, he had a lot of different trades, but at one point in his life, had been in construction. And he said, Tyler, don't worry. You and I can move the small Honda together. So he gets to my house. I am going down into the basement with this sofa bed. And James, because he's done moving before, had some suggestions. Tyler, we should measure first. Tyler, this railing into the basement, we should probably take that off. I think if we take that off, we'll actually be able to get it down just fine. But I want you to know the state of my soul at this point. I was mad at everyone. I'm mad at Rachel. Why did you not ask more questions? I'm mad at the college student. Why did you not tell us? I'm mad at myself. Why did you say yes? So I'm just, my soul is unraveled at this point. And James is being very kind. Why don't we take the railing off? And I remember, this is 30-year-old Tyler, a strong bite back. It will fit. We begin down the stairs. I don't know if you've ever had this when you're moving, that sound of fresh drywall being ripped off the wall. So we're there, we're stuck. Okay, we're ripping. Any further, we're going to rip out more drywall. I'm at the bottom, sweating, holding the small Honda up. James is at the top, and because he's St. James, he's smiling, because he always smiled. And so I'm holding this, and he's just smiling. And I wanted to hit him. But I couldn't, because I'm holding all the weight here, and he's smiling, and he's so calm and so kindly. He just says, "Do you want to try it my way now?" And so we lug the sofa bed back out. We undo the railing, as he had suggested. And of course, the sofa bed went down just fine when we did that. And then when it was all over, St. James, because he was in painting and construction in a previous life, was said to me, "Well, I'll come back tomorrow and patch up all the walls and paint them again for you for free." I didn't want to hit him. Friends, how often is that your life? You are sweating, grunting, straining your way through the burdens and obstacles that you are facing, when it could be so much lighter and easier if you would just stop and listen to the one who has a better way. Jesus doesn't say, "Come to me, I'll help you push it." He says, "Come to me, learn from me." Sometimes learning from him means discovering there's an easier, lighter way to carry life, but only with him. Maybe today we stop trying to force life through in our own strength. We stop allowing our dry-walled souls to be ripped apart because we can't imagine letting him lead. And instead we say, "You lead. You know better than me." I love the way Bill Gutier puts it in his wonderful book, "Your Best Life in Jesus's Easy Yoke." He says this: "What good news is this?" This is, we don't have to fix our own problems or just hang on in our difficult life till we die and go to heaven, but we can actually grow in the blessings of God's grace and righteousness now as we submit to Jesus Christ and rely on him. Our opportunity is to let our life be taken over by God's rule, to submit our will to the will of our Father, to do all that we do with the Lord and according to his leadership, end quote. Friends, let your life be taken over by God's rule, and in the process, in that discipleship, apprenticing your life through him, you will find in Jesus the rest you were made for. What does it mean to really learn from Jesus? Second, build your life on Jesus' words. Jesus says in our passage, he's saying to you, he's saying to me, he was saying to this first century audience, he says these words, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Jesus says to you this morning, if you will listen, if you will heed it, he says, take my yoke, my teaching, my way, my truth, and learn from me. Become my student. Become my apprentice. Follow me. Jesus, in another passage, talked about what does it look like to be a wise person? Wouldn't that be nice? How do I become a wise person? I'd like to be a wise person. How do you and I become a wise person? And then he gives this incredibly vivid illustration to describe what it means to be a wise person, especially in the first century. He says this in Matthew 7. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. When Jesus here is talking in this passage about building your house on sand, you and I today are going to have to rethink our sand. You see, when Jesus is talking here, he's not talking about New Smyrna sand. That's usually what I think of. When I think of sand, I'm thinking of New Smyrna. He's not talking about New Smyrna sand. But I want you to know in the first century, when he shared this story, they knew exactly the kind of sand he was talking about. They knew that this wasn't just a metaphor. The people listening to this knew and had seen this actually happen in their lives. You see, this sand in Israel, when the summer heat would come, it would pack the ground so solid. You would actually be able to quickly and cheaply build on the hard-packed sand at that time. And for months, on that sand in Israel, your house would be fine. It'd look great. You would think, wow, we got this up affordable. We got this up quick. Everything is going to be okay. But when the rainy season would come, when the storms come, when the Jordan River would flood, when the stream beds would overflow and they would come toward the house, and if that house was not built on bedrock, it would get washed away in hours. Everyone listening in that crowd when Jesus said this had seen this happen before. They had maybe helped a neighbor at some point whose house had been washed away in a flood. And Jesus is tapping into a very real, very visible danger to say this. This is what will happen to your life if you do not listen and follow me. You see, that difference between the wise and the foolish wasn't they heard him. It says in the passage, both listened to him. Both heard his teaching. Both heard him. But the wise was the one who left listening and learning and following Jesus. The foolish was the one who listened and then went and did nothing. Jesus is essentially saying to us this morning, I am that foundation. I am that rock. If you want a life that can withstand the storms that will inevitably come into your life and mine, you have to build your life on me. There's no other way. There's no other source. There's no other life that you can turn to when the storms come, and they will come, my friends. And in that moment, he says, I am the only rock you have. Building your life on Jesus' words isn't about agreeing with him in theory. Oh, that sounds nice, Jesus. It's letting his teaching shape your decisions, your values, your habits, in your quiet, normal, ordinary life. In 2014, Tampa, Florida was hit by something unexpected. Not a hurricane, but a squirrel. A squirrel had broken into the electrical station and in the process had kind of ripped away a lot of the wires of the power sources and put thousands in Tampa without power. Traffic lights shut down, schools shut down, gyms shut down, people stuck in elevators because of a squirrel. In fact, they dubbed it the Great Squirrel Outage. You may be wondering, how could something so small, so seemingly insignificant, cause such a massive issue for so many people? Thousands of people were without power. Friends, it's the smallest and most seemingly harmless things that can bring everything we've built down. A single overlooked habit, a little compromise, a relationship we ignore, a word we don't say, we underestimate their power until we finally find ourselves, maybe this morning in the dark, wondering what happened. Jesus warns us in Matthew 7 that the house built on sand, it may look fine, but when the storms come, or in this case, the squirrel strikes, the wise person builds with intentionality and care. We often think it's the big stuff that will take us down, but in real life, it's often the tiny things in us. The unaddressed wounds, the fears we carry, the compromises. But here's the good news. Jesus isn't the one who will help you rebuild. He's also the one that stands with you in the dark. His grace shows up in the darkest of places, and he promises, Tyler, if you will surrender to me, I will lead you out. Tyler, I know you've learned a way to operate in this world. I know it's worked for you sometimes, but it's not working now. You're in the dark, my friend. Come to me. Learn from me. And I'll lead you out. Guys, this invitation is not simply for when your life somehow gets less busy or your schedule gets less quiet. It's an invitation that he says to us, you are invited every day, come to me. Come to me, Jesus said, not when you have it all figured out. Come to me now. Just as you are, with all that you've been carrying, and I will give you rest. And honestly, I know this morning you may be here saying, I don't think I can make it. Tyler, I don't think I can make it. I don't think with all that I've been asked to carry, with all that's going on in my life, I don't think I can make it. The darkness just feels like it's too much. The truth is, friends, in our own strength, the darkness always will be too much. You just have to listen and keep listening to the one who knows the way out. I love this story I heard from a pastor talking about his friend named Danny. This is what he said. My friend Danny is one of those people who's not easily satisfied. Therefore, he has the most amazing experiences. He's flown a homemade plane over Alaska. He has climbed up Half Dome in California, hanging onto a rope when he did not know whether the rope was tethered to anything or not. One time, Danny went spelunking in a cave. Danny's friend told him there was an inner chamber with a pool of great beauty, but you can only get there by a very narrow way. And Danny, being Danny, said, "Sure, I'm up for it." They started walking through the narrow way. After a while, the ceiling got lower and lower, and Danny had to crouch. It kept getting lower. He had to get on his knees. It kept getting lower. He had to crawl. He kept getting lower. He had to get on his stomach. Eventually, it got so constricted, this cave was pitch black. It got so constricted that this little tunnel was so tight, he had to lay flat on his back and exhale and scoot a few inches. Then he could take in another breath. That was the only way he could move. Why would Danny do this? It's because there's something wrong with Danny. As they say in the South, the cheese has come off the cracker. I don't know why he did it, but I'll tell you how. Danny told me the only way he made it is he had a friend who knew the way, and that friend just kept saying, "Keep listening to me, Danny. Don't think about the dark. Don't think about the cave. Don't think about the fear. Don't think about the lies in your head. Just listen to my voice. Just do what I tell you to do. Just keep going, and we will get there." And they did. Friends, you have an infinitely better friend with you in the dark who not only knows the way, but who is the way. A friend who has offered to you saying, if you'll follow him, if you'll learn from him, if you'll live your life with him, he will lead you out to life. So here's the invitation. Will you make the decision to follow Jesus today, to become his disciple, to trust him, to build your life on him, to learn from him, to worship him? Today, you can start listening to his voice. You can stop trying to navigate the darkness alone. You can take your next step into life with God, not because you know the whole path, but because you follow someone who does. Friends, Jesus invites you today. And he says to each and every one of you today, come to me. Learn from me. Build your life on me. And and you will find rest for your soul. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, you are the truth that sets us free. Help us by the power of your Spirit to hear your voice above the noise in our lives so that we can walk in your ways and rest in your love. As we go, may our lives be built on you, our Redeemer and our friend. It's in your name we pray, and everyone said, amen.